This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا صدق الله العظيم. Respected scholars, beloved teachers, brothers and elders in Islam, in our relation with each other there are certain stages. Stage number one is where a person cares about another person even if inconvenience has to reach him. And this is the highest stage. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in, especially the Sahaba from Medina, they were the greatest manifestation and the greatest example to this relation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually speaks about that in the Holy Quran. Allah ta'ala says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, that these sahaba, they gave preference to other people even if inconvenience reached them. And to understand this, let us look at this example or this incident that occurred at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba migrated from Makkah to Medina, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam created a brotherhood amongst the Sahaba of Makkah and Medina. And he told the Sahaba of Medina to take care of the Sahaba of Makkah. Why? Because these people left everyone behind, their family members, their wealth and everything, their homes. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the people of Medina to take care of them. Upon one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam received wealth. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the people of Medina and he told them that, look, the people of Makkah are relying on you. If you allow me to give all of this wealth to the people of Makkah, they will become independent and they won't have to rely on you. So the people of Ansar replied that, O Prophet of Allah, you can give all of that wealth to the people of Makkah and we will still assist them. We will still carry on with the brotherhood that you have created amongst ourselves. That is وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, to give preference to others even when inconvenience has to reach you. That is the first stage. Talking about the second stage in our relation with each other is where we prefer for another brother what we prefer for ourselves. We love for our brother what we love for ourselves. And these are actually the words of the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." None of you can be a true believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Simple example, you have a roti, a bread with you, and you find a hungry person. You give him the whole of roti, that is the first stage. But you cut the roti into half, you give him half of the roti, you keep half by yourself. That is the second stage. Talking about the third stage in our relation with each other is where we don't benefit others, but again we are not from the group that harms others. And this is the topic of my bayan today. This is the topic of my talk today. That if we can't be from the group that benefits others, let us not be from the group that harms others. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has put so much of emphasis on this aspect. It comes in a hadith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La dharar wa la dhira." A Muslim is he who doesn't harm others, or who doesn't return the harm, who doesn't take revenge. In another hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked, "Ayyul Islami afdal?" If we have to put it in a simple translation, The question means that who is the best Muslim in Kamwala? Who is the best of Muslim in Kamwala? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, "Al Muslimu man salim al Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi." The best Muslim in Kamwala, the best of Muslim in Kamwala is he from the evil of whose hands, from the evil of whose tongue, other Muslims are safe. And in another hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam generalized it. He said, "Al Muslimu man salim al nas min lisanihi wa yadi." A good Muslim is he from who, from the evil of whose tongue and whose hand. Normal public is safe. Forget about Muslim. General public is safe from the evil of his hands and his tongue. And look at this another hadith where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are various stage of iman, the highest of which is to pray the kalima la ilaha illallah, and the lowest of which imatatul adha anit tariq, to remove an offensive object, to remove an obstacle from the road, from the path, so it doesn't harm someone else. So look at how much emphasis Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has put on this aspect. And our spiritual doctor, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, explains this whole scenario so beautifully. He says that if you have to go into a jungle, you are going to find three kinds of animals. The first kind are those animals which benefit others, like the goat. It gives you milk. The sheep, you enjoy the meat. The cow, the buffalo, I don't have to mention ribeye, porterhouse, and all the kind of steak that we put on our WhatsApp statuses, right? These animals are beneficial. That's the first kind. Talking about the second kind, the animals that are harmful, the lion, the tiger, the hyena, the wild dogs, the scorpion, snakes. Talking about the third kinds of animal, where these animals don't know anything about us or we don't know anything about them. So now Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that first of all, you are humans. You are not supposed to be like animals. You are humans. You are better than animals. But if you have to be like animals, then be like those animals that benefit others. And don't be like those animals that harm others. And respected elders and friends, look at how much Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself practiced on this aspect. We all know the famous narration of Hadith Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where Hadith Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to wake up for tahajjud, and Nabi sallallahu the room of Hadith Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was so small that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to go into sajda, he had to somehow indicate to Hadith Aisha to move her leg, right? We only look at the aspect of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam waking up for tahajjud, but we don't understand what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did there. Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions, "Fatah al baba ruwayda wa aghlaq al baba ruwayda." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to quietly open the door, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to quietly close the door. Why? So it doesn't disturb the sleep of Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Look at how considerate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in not harming others. And the scholars, the jurists, actually put so much emphasis on this aspect. They mention that if you have to do an optional act, a nafal act, and whilst doing that nafal act, you end up harming someone, it is wajib, it is mandatory upon you to leave that nafal act. Doing a nafal act will give you rewards. But if it is harming someone, leave it out. For example, if you have to kiss Hajar al-Aswad, it will give you rewards. But in order to reach there, you have to fight with someone, you have to push someone, you have to beat someone. Then it is mandatory, it is wajib upon you to leave it out. Reading Quran loudly, it gives you reward. Hadith Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, we used to read Quran loudly. But if you are reading Quran loudly and it is disturbing someone's sleep, or it is disturbing someone in his salah, it is appropriate for you to read your Quran silently. When coming to the masjid, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when a person is coming to the masjid, he shouldn't eat raw onions or raw garlic. Why? It will harm another brother who's standing next to him. But now look at what the jurists mention under this hadith. They mention that the mutawallis of the masjid actually have the right to go and talk to this person. That, my brother, when you are coming to the masjid, you are eating raw onions or garlic, you shouldn't come like that. The mutawallis have that right. Why? So it doesn't harm someone. Respected elders and friends, you know, when we are hurting someone, let us understand that their feelings might not mean anything to us, but they might mean everything to them. So we should be very careful in this aspect. And since we are talking about the aspect of harming, about the aspect of not harming others and benefiting others, let us look at the current situation around us. Right now, elections, we had elections yesterday. Anytime the results are going to be out, as Muslims, where do we stand? Obviously, the elections are done, but in the future, we might be facing other few elections. Where do we stand in this whole aspect? Let us understand that when it comes to voting, even if a person has to refuse, even if a person has to say that I am not part of this political process, he is part of the political process. You are paying duty for your car, your employers are paying tax for your salary, somehow you are paying your taxes, you have the identity card under this governance, you have become part of the political process even if you are denying it. And when you decide not to vote, it is not compulsory, it is not compulsory, but when you decide not to vote, then automatically you have decreased and reduced a vote for a person who can be beneficial for the community, or who can be beneficial for the Muslim community, if I have to say, when we don't go to vote. You know, we have this strange concept in our mind that a global revolution is going to take place and Islamic law is going to prevail. A very strange concept. When we don't understand that in order to go global, we have to act local. The process starts locally, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. It comes in a narration that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, people used to come to him and they used to complain to him about Abu Jahl not giving them their money. They never used to come and complain about them accepting Islam and Abu Jahl persecuting them. No, they were non-Muslims. They used to come to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they used to complain that Abu Jahl is not returning us our money. And what was the reply of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was it that, you know what, I'm going to go to Medina after 20 years when I'm back and I'll be ruling Makkah, I will help you in getting back your money? No, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to treat them like their brothers. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put in an effort in returning their money. He spoke to Abu Jahl that return this person his money. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in the local affairs around him. And subhanallah, a profound point. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was persecuted by Abu Jahl, who was there to give him protection? A non-Muslim. Mut'am bin Adi, Mut'im bin Adi, he was there to give protection to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it comes in narrations, most of the people who gave protection to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were non-Muslims at that time. And it helped in spreading the message of Islam. So we can't say that we can't be part of the local affairs that take place around us. And it has to be gradual. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He became the king of Egypt. How did he become the king of Egypt? First, he went to the king and he told him, Ij'alni ala khazainil ard. Make me the minister, not of the religious affairs, not of the religious affairs. Make me the minister of your storeroom. Why? I'm capable of taking care of it. He gradually followed the process and one day he became the king. So respected elders and friends, let us be part of the political process. Let us be part of the local affairs around us. It will somehow benefit us someday, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice on whatever has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.